Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Let's give them something to talk about.
Headlines worth talking about.
Pay attention. You just may learn something here.
Headlines worth talking about.
We're not worthy. We're not worthy.
The weekend started with a bang for the San Francisco 49ers, inking their long-term and future quarterback Jimmy Garoppolo to a massive, massive deal, making him the richest player in NFL history.
Until Kirk Cousins signs his contract, right?
Most likely. On Sunday, that all came down to a crashing halt. Their second first-round pick, Reuben Foster, has been arrested for the second time in less than a month. The first arrest was stemming from a marijuana charge in his home state of Alabama. A little more serious yesterday, he was arrested on charges related to domestic violence, threats, and possession of an assault weapon. The police showed up to his place on Sunday morning. He was eventually arrested, put on $75,000 bail, and was released on Sunday night. But again, this is the second arrest in less than a month for Reuben Foster. Obviously, this guy had some issues coming into the NFL draft when he was projected to be kind of a top five, top 10 pick. Fell all the way to 31 because he got in some problems with a diluted sample at the combine, then got in a fight with the people at the hospital.
Oh, that's right.
Trying to take the sample. So Reuben Foster, certainly some red flags off the field, on the field, second on the team in tackles with 72 while only playing in just 10 games.
Well, he can make tackles, so he'll be given another opportunity, even though he's a total, complete disaster as a human being.
Bye.
Yeah, I'd get rid of him. I mean, I don't care. I'm one of these guys right now that you've got a new organization and you're trying to build things and you're trying to keep distractions at a minimum. This guy is twice in the offseason he's been arrested. We're a month into the offseason.
Yeah, twice in a month, yep.
And he's already been arrested two times. Yeah, I got no time for you, man. Thanks for playing last year. We appreciate it.
I'll find tackles somewhere else.
Yeah, you're out, my man. You're gone. Get rid of this guy.
To baseball, maybe this is the move that's going to open the floodgates. The Chicago Cubs and free agent ace pitcher Yu Darvish agreeing to a six-year, $126 million deal. Does include an opt-out clause and a no-trade protection. Yu Darvish is going to get paid by the Chicago Cubs, who needed to add to that rotation. Obviously, they're most likely going to lose Jake Arrieta, but the Cubs adding a major ace on Sunday.
That was cool a couple of years ago when I saw him in the Target in Surprise, Arizona, right when he first came into Major League Baseball. I'm like, oh, it's you. Like, I got starstruck. You know, here I am, an adult male getting starstruck in Target when I saw Yu Darvish out there. But that's a nice deal. Now, let me ask you guys this, because I don't know what the answer is. Should pitchers make more than position players?
Well, it's about value in an ace pitcher.
Harder to find.
It's harder to find than your everyday second baseman. But
okay, let me break it down a little bit more. Should Darvish make more money than Hosmer?
I think he's a frontline starting pitcher, so I would say yes.
My answer would be yes as well. And so my initial reaction, and I know that, look, there's $50 million in incentives that he's probably never going to achieve because they're very high incentives and hard to attain. But I looked at that yesterday or the day before whenever it came out, and I'm like, $126 million? I think he should make more than Eric Hosmer should make because of the value that he brings as a starting pitcher. But maybe I'm wrong about that. I don't know.
He's like 4 years older, too, right?
Yeah.
So.
I would rather play position players, but Yu Darvish is better at his job than Eric Hosmer is at his job.
Mm-hmm.
I think if you were to J.D. Martinez, like J.D. Martinez deserves to make more than Yu Darvish. He's a more valuable position player and is playing 6 days a week as opposed to one.
Right, and he had 40 jacks last year.
Yeah. I mean, Eric Hosmer's very good, but right. I don't think he's better at first base as Yu Darvish is as a pitcher.
Right.
that makes any sense.
No, it does.
It's hard to compare the two.
It is.
You know.
And I don't know if one compares to the other when it comes to, you know, Yu Darvish made X, so Hosmer's going to make Y or anything like that. But
they don't pull these numbers out of thin air, obviously. They're market-based, right?
Right, yeah.
So, to the NBA, a statement made by the Cleveland Cavaliers last night. 121-99 win over the Celtics. This is the first game in which the Cavs have had their new pieces. Former Missouri star Jordan Clarkson going for 17. Rodney Hood with 15. Larry Nance with just 5 and 4. But LeBron James seems to be reinvigorated. 24 points, 10 assists, 8 rebounds. And the Cavaliers make a statement over the number one seed currently in the Boston Celtics.
Well, they're not the number one seed anymore, Stephen, because Toronto won it last night.
Right? And Toronto is yesterday?
Yes, Toronto is now the one seed in the East, even though Welch thinks the Celtics are the team to beat.
Are the Cavs going to have to knock off the Raptors now for Eastern Conference supremacy?
Yes, that is it. He, like, last week, I think it was Friday, you were out, Josh. He goes, well, now the Celtics, you know, are the team to beat in the East. And meanwhile, the Raptors and the Cavs both had better odds to win the NBA's Eastern Conference than the Boston Celtics. I don't think anybody ever thought the Boston Celtics were the true favorite. They may be in first place right now, but that doesn't mean they're the favorite to go out there and still win the East. The favorite is still LeBron James and the Cleveland Cavaliers, then the Toronto Raptors, and then the Boston Celtics were third on the list.
No one's talking Toronto, right?
Nobody is. I mean, that's what happens when you play in Canada. People kind of forget about you. And here's the other thing, too. Your name's the Raptors. It's not like you're taking that team seriously, you know? Just because the name.
I like the Raptors. I just like that name.
It sounds like a comic book name or something like that. It sounds like Jurassic Park. It sounds like something from a movie. It doesn't sound
like
it's
a Raptor.
It doesn't sound like it's a basketball team.
I think you are not taking them seriously because of the name. I don't think anybody else has ever thought that before.
Well, I think they are thinking that.
Is a Cavaliers a good?
But it has LeBron James on it. You know?
Oh, okay.
You know, you got LeBron.
If LeBron was on the Raptors, would you take it seriously?
Probably not. No. Okay. I wouldn't.
Well,
I hear the name Raptors,
like
and I think of Jurassic
issue.
Park.
It's a terrible way to gamble, I think.
Jurassic Park's a great movie, and the Velociraptors are the best characters in Jurassic Park.
Okay, fine. But to me, it equates cartoon. I don't know why.
Clever girl.
You think Return of the Mac is the greatest song of all time.
Because it is. That's not an opinion. That's a fact.
No, that is not a fact. It's a good song, but I can think that the Raptors are like a cartoon character and really don't do it for me. I don't know.
But, like, there's no cartoon with the Velociraptor.
Do you remember the old logo that they used to have where the dinosaur was like a cartoon?
Not particularly.
Okay.
Like the old school Vince Carter ones?
Yes.
Like that looked like a scary
looked
Barney?
Looked like Barney, exactly.
Okay.
That's exactly what I have in my mind when I hear Toronto Raptors. I hear drugged out Barney.
But to my knowledge, there is no cartoon named the Raptor, right?
Was there one in the Flintstones? I don't know.
There may have been.
I don't know.
There may have been.
I don't think so, though.
The Eagles.
And were there a lot of Raptors roaming Toronto back in the day?
Yes.
Yes,
that,
because,
that
you know.
Fact.
That
yes.
is fact.
Yes.
Okay.
That's where they mostly lived.
Okay.
Until right. that right. meteor hit.
Yeah.
And it created the city of Toronto.
Gotcha. Okay.
That's how it happened.
Right. Yes.
Yeah. The first Raptors bones were actually found just outside of Toronto in the 6.
Oh, all right.
So.
The Philadelphia.
Just outside of Sky Dome.
Yeah, that's in the 6.
Yeah.
Oh, that neighborhood.
Okay. Yeah. I thought there was something with Sky Dome there. Not sure. I think where they built that hotel.
Well, that's where they housed the first.
Ah, gotcha.
You know.
Gotcha.
Triceratops. That's where they housed them.
There's a Tyrannosaurus Rex made out of Legos down there at Union Station. Go see that thing.
The Lego exhibit cool?
Oh, it's awesome.
I've still been waiting to go to it.
It's fantastic.
Okay.
Yeah.
I have to do that this week.
So when you saw that particular, did you not take it seriously?
No, I did. I was in awe of that.
Because it was a Lego dinosaur. You didn't take it seriously?
No, I did. Yeah. It was great.
Okay. The Philadelphia Eagles have won the Super Bowl, but they've lost a bunch of pieces on their offensive coordinating staff. Frank Reich, I never know how to pronounce it, is now going to be the Indianapolis Colts' next head coach.
What a bad hire. I mean, if that is not just the most desperate hire that I've ever seen made in the NFL, well, we lost the guy we wanted, but this guy was on the staff. How many times last week after the Super Bowl did anybody mention Frank Reich? How many times did you hear his name mentioned at all?
A little bit.
You did? I didn't hear it once.
Yeah, because I think Peterson was offered up a lot of praise to him about how they adjusted their offense and to suit the quarterback and all this stuff. He gave a lot of credit to Frank Reich. But you're right. I mean, well, he knows the deal. I mean, he's the, like, fifth choice.
Right, exactly.
In Indianapolis. But what does he care?
Right.
I think for Indianapolis, though, it's I mean, what were you going to get at this point in time, one? Mm-hmm. And two, you just saw an offense that tailored to their quarterback. They don't know who their quarterback is in Indianapolis. So I think there's a little bit to be said there. And, you know, there's, yes, his name became, quote unquote, hot because they won the Super Bowl. But he's also their, you know, fifth choice. And I think what else were you expecting to get, Bob, at the state?
I don't know what I was expecting. That's exactly kind of what I was expecting them to get. But I feel like it's like Christmas vacation. Well, get me somebody while I'm waiting. And Frank Reich is the guy that they got while they're waiting. You know, like I mean, we need somebody to fill this position. Well, you just won the Super Bowl and we're on the offensive staff, yeah. So we'll take you.
Makes a lot of sense. I mean, you're not gonna fool them and say he was our choice all along.
No.
But this is where you're at. I think for where they're at, it makes sense. Get an offensive guy who's played quarterback in the league to either work with Andrew Luck or whoever else you have to get ready, Jacoby Brissett, on short order because you don't have Andrew Luck. I think it makes sense. It wouldn't be the first option, but they weren't on the first option.
No, they were definitely not on the first. Yeah. So. Better than Leslie Frazier. As a retread.
Was that the other guy?
That was the rumored
Or all the Jeff
deal.
Fisher memes
all
that were
the
out
Jeff
there.
Jeff Fisher I mean, stuff they, was great. Yeah.
Those were just for our content and our laugh.
Yes, but, you know, I'm sure there's some people in Indianapolis going, whoa.
Some stability with Jeff here. Fisher and his awesome mustache.
Yeah, you know you're going to go 8-8 with Jeff Fisher.
Kansas is in the bracket of death, according to CBS and March Madness, who put out their bracket preview yesterday. Purdue, Kansas, North Carolina, and Arizona, your 1, 2, 3, and 4 seeds in the West region. Your number one overall seeds, Purdue, Virginia, Villanova, and Xavier. Kansas, Auburn, Duke, and Cincinnati, your 2 seeds. That obviously, as of today, a lot can happen between now and Selection Sunday coming up in a month.
It's really, really bad that the NCAA is rewarding a 4 seed Arizona by putting them in the Western region with Kansas, North Carolina, and Purdue, 3 Eastern schools. So the 4 seed is getting rewarded out there, which is putting those 3 schools at a major disadvantage
there
to have
go.
To travel all over the country, and the 4 seed is getting put closest to home. That's
basketball
a bad,
excuses.
Bad seed job by the NCAA.
But you can check out the full 16 in the brackets at 610sports.com. This is the only poll that counts at this point.
Right.
Right?
It's the only one that matters.
This is the only one that matters. Yeah. This is the group that's picking those teams, and they give you a month out sneak peek at what they're thinking at the moment right now.
Right.
Which is that Virginia is the overall number one seed.
Virginia.
That is most people's reaction to watching them play basketball.
They're hard to watch.
They are impossible to watch.
They are very, very difficult. They don't let anybody score. It's a tremendously boring style.
They beat Duke twice already this year. Is that why?
Just once. No, but I mean, they want the game to be 56-50.
Then that's terrible.
It's horrible. I don't even like watching Duke Virginia. It's brutal basketball.
It's awful. Speaking of brutal, I don't know if you saw the first half of the Kansas Baylor game at all, but we got home from the Lego thing on Saturday, flipped on the game at halftime. Kansas had 20 points in the first half.
Struggling.
Mitch Lightfoot with another awesome line of 6 points and 3 rebounds in 22 minutes.
There's a difference between bad offense, though, and Virginia, which wants you to play that style. You know what I mean? Like, mm-hmm. I'll take, like, just bad offense as opposed to watch. Virginia's just, they're not fun to watch.
No, they're not. Absolutely. Oof. They're terrible. Coming up, something happened over the weekend that proves there is still plenty of money to be spent in baseball. We'll tell you what it was next. I just got Josh with one of the best stories ever. We're going to tell it here in a little bit on 610 Sports Radio. Specter, just get ready to walk out of the room. Right, Josh?
Yeah. 6 degrees of Fesco. Olympic style.
Olympic style. I got a connection to an Olympic athlete. We'll do it in about 5 minutes here on 610 Sports Radio.
Who cares?
What's our top 10 list today?
Don't tease people like that. Don't tease it.
No, we won't. We won't tease all everybody right. with all that. Right. Yu Darvish signed over the weekend, and his 6-year deal, $124 million or whatever it is. We talked a little bit about it in headlines worth talking about, but to me, I look at that deal. And I don't know really how to react to that deal and how it affects, because the first thing I thought of was, how does this affect Eric Hosmer? And really, it doesn't affect Eric Hosmer. But the money that Yu Darvish got, I guess, proves that there's still a lot of money out there.
Yeah,
huh?
I mean, I think that's what you have to look at. It's not the value of him versus Hosmer, one of those things, but that a team's willing to spend now. So the bank's not closed.
Right.
There are teams willing to throw money at a 32-year-old pitcher. Mm-hmm. To the tune of $20-some million.
Is he really that old? 32? Yeah. I didn't realize he was that old.
Yeah.
God.
So, I mean, are you going to get the value at the end of his contract?
Probably not. No.
But their team, that's kind of one of those surprise teams. Yes, you figured the Cubs were going to spend money on either Arrieta or or Darvish.
Well, Arrieta apparently turned down a deal similar.
Apparently,
right?
They gave Arrieta every opportunity to come to the Cubs, and they said no, and so they went with Darvish. Mm-hmm. So obviously, they were going to spend money either way. But it just proves like it ain't over. Hey, wheeling and dealing is not over. So there's still money to be spent. There could be still mystery teams that have a pocketbook that are still waiting to spend at the end of it. So we'll wait and see if somebody does. I still don't want the Royals to blink. I think I am firmly in the camp of Royals. You made your best offer. There's no need to call back and up the ante. Mm-hmm. They know what your offer is. You know what your offer is. You're good with it. You ride to spring training and see where it lands with Eric Hosmer, because I still don't believe that there's another deal out there. There might be, and if there is, I'm also fine with that, because I think the Royals did everything they could possibly do to make it right for them and to make it really good still for Eric Hosmer, even if it's not the but it just proves that Darvish deal, that was my first thought was, oh, there's still some spending to be done.
Right.
This is why guys are waiting
right
at this point in time.
Well, and I don't think the Cubs were ever really a surprise team for Yu Darvish, because that'd been talked about for the last couple of weeks.
They were going to go back to Arrieta and Darvish would be available to everyone else. That was to me the surprise part of it.
Well, yeah. I think the surprise part was that Arrieta turned down Yu Darvish type money and didn't want that kind of jack
probably
out
more,
there now.
Yeah,
yeah, and let's see if Jake Arrieta is going to get that kind of money now on the open market, now that Yu Darvish has already accepted that kind of money and taken the Cubs out of the bidding. And I think it's with the Eric Hosmer thing, and I think how this plays off it is it because the Royals really have done nothing. Like if I held a gun to your head right now, who's the first baseman on opening day for the Kansas City Royals?
I don't know what they think of Dozier / Cuthbert.
Mm-hmm.
I would say one of those two. But whoever they think's better at first or third, you know, I think they're playing first and third.
You think those two guys are in the lineup playing first and third?
First and third, and I don't know which spot.
Okay, all right,
right?
That's
I don't
fair.
Know what they think of him.
I think Dozier would probably be at first. We've already seen what Cuthbert can do at third base in the big leagues. I think he's
played
more
a little
of a third
bit of first
baseman.
Base, and I think he'd be more than comfortable there.
Sure.
So if you thought Dozier would be better at third, I could see that. I don't know what they think of those two, but right. I think it's those two.
It's those two.
Yeah.
Some sort of mix of those two.
Yeah.
And I don't know that the Royals are necessarily going to go into the season with those two guys as their first and third baseman. I still think there's something that is going to happen there, and that's why I think it's Eric Hosmer, because I think if the Royals felt like they were out of this Hosmer thing, they would have moved on maybe to a Logan Morrison or to somebody else of that nature that could go out there and play first base for you. But apparently they don't believe that they are out of this Eric Hosmer thing
right.
yet. And clearly, you should know, absolutely.
You can play that out till he's donning a uniform and at a press conference for some other team.
Right, exactly.
But until that point, no, there's no reason to go to Plan B.
Right, there absolutely is no reason to go to Plan B. But the Yu Darvish signing should be a wake-up call to these players that teams are willing to spend, and they are willing to overspend, because I think that is for a 32-year-old pitcher, that's a little bit of an overspend by the Chicago Cubs.
And if Plan B is Logan Morrison, there's no reason to jump the gun on that either, because
right.
he's not signed anywhere else. And I don't think you would, like, try to get him quickly before somebody else signed. You'd just be like, well, we'll just go with what's here.
Right.
Okay. Nick Prado might be ready in 3 years.
Maybe.
We'll just figure it out.
Right.
So I think they're in a great spot if they don't overbid against themselves, which I don't think they're going to.
No, and I don't think they are going to end up overbidding against themselves. The Winter Olympics going on right now. We were just looking up at the monitor here that the a lot of the ski events are going to be canceled today because it's too windy.
Significant wind out there today.
Very bad.
There's a significant wind.
That is true.
Right.
The significant wind is delaying some events today.
Right.
In Pyeongchang.
In Pyeongchang. And one of those was the ski events. And they say Michaela Schifrin's event is going to be canceled or postponed or whatever it is today. And I said, funny story about Michaela Schifrin. My parents are in town and we're sitting there watching the Olympics on, I guess it was Friday, Saturday, whenever it was. And Michaela Schifrin was on. And my dad goes, I wonder if that's the same Schifrin who used to own Schifrin Liquor Store in Dover, New Jersey. And I said, I think it may be. I don't know. So I started to look it up. And Michaela Schifrin grew up in Denver. Her family moved out to Denver because they were big ski fans, big skiers, right? Her mother was actually a skier at the University of Denver, which I'm wearing a pullover from the University of Denver because my buddy's the athletic director at the University of Denver. So I texted him that, I think her name was Edith or Caroline or something shift from the mother. I said, oh, your former skier's daughter, Michaela Schifrin, is in the Olympics. He's like, okay, great, fantastic. And I said,
he didn't care about the story.
No, right. But funny story about it is that Michaela Schifrin's grandfather used to own Schifrin Liquors in Dover, New Jersey, where my dad's boss, Frank Epps, would go every Friday after work. He would leave work every Friday and tell everybody, I'm going to Schifrin's and stop at Schifrin's Liquor on the way home and buy a fifth of something and kick off the weekend in the right way.
You buying this, Beck? You buying this?
Mike Epps?
Frank
Epps.
Billy Epps?
Frank Epps. No, yes. I'm not buying
So he would stop at Schifrin's. So I Wikipedia'd it, Josh, because that's what you do now, right?
It's official. Yeah.
And the Schifrin's originally are from northern New Jersey, and there you have it. So the story is, how do you make up a story like that with the name Schifrin?
Michaela, you do it all the time with the Ning Ning Nelsons.
No, these are all true stories.
The Peter Pipers, their garbage delivery guy, and that the cat
Foster
stuck in
Ball,
his.
Hacksaw, they're all true stories.
So Michaela Schifrin's grandfather used to own a liquor store frequented by your dad's former boss.
That's exactly right.
Well, of course.
Right.
So
there you have
Six
it.
Degrees of Fesco.
There it is.
Olympic style.
If you give me something, I will tell you how in 6 degrees I am connected to that person. So yes, I do have a Michaela Schifrin backstory.
Okay.
Coming up.
They did not share that one on NBC last night.
I'm surprised.
But they have time now. If all these events are postponed, they'll have time to get to that.
They get me on the phone. I'll
Schifrin's
be happy.
Grandfather's liquor store breakdown with Katie Couric. That'd be awesome.
When did she get back on NBC, by the way?
When Lauer was out, I don't know.
That's what I said, too. I go, now that Lauer's gone, they're bringing Katie back. Coming up, the Chiefs are making a move that everybody knew was coming, but it's still surprising to hear. We'll tell you what it is next. All right, coming up in a moment, we're going to tell you something about the Kansas City Chiefs that we all knew was probably happening, but it is still very difficult nonetheless to hear, but you need to go to 610sports.com right now, and all you need is an email address to win. Everybody has one of those for the Spring Baseball National Flyaway. You can get flights and hotel at the Talking Stick Resort in Scottsdale, a spring training experience, and tickets to go see Dustin Lynch in concert and Old Dominion in concert. It ends Friday at 10:59 p.m., so register now at 610sports.com, and all you need is an email address to win, and you could be headed out to Arizona for spring baseball. All right, it is going to be a very, 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 I think, very interesting offseason, and an offseason full of a lot of moves for the Kansas City Chiefs. And you may think to yourself, well, why would the Chiefs be making a lot of moves? They're a pretty good football team. But you know what? They're at a spot now, Josh, with a new quarterback and an offense that is very, very young, where they have an opportunity to compete on offense for a very long time. We've been talking about it for many weeks now here since the season ended, how that window on offense just really got open wider than it's ever really been before. I mean, you've got a lot of guys that are in their early 20s right now and a lot of, you know, skill position players, the Tyree Kills, the Kareem Hunts of the world, the quarterback, all of those guys are in their early 20s right now and are just now entering the prime of their career. You factor in a guy like Travis Kelce. He's not old. He's 28 years old or whatever it is. He's still in the prime of his career. And a lot of those guys along the offensive line are still pretty darn young as well. So you've got an offense right now that I think is ready to hit its prime and then have that prime for the next 3 or 4 years. The problem with this team right now is you look on the other side of the ball and you go, oh my God, we got a lot of veterans over there. We got a lot of grandpas.
A lot of money tied up, yeah.
And a lot of money tied up in old guys as well. And so I think what we're going to see this offseason for the Kansas City Chiefs is a lot of moves that we know are coming, but also a lot of moves that are really going to sting for us from a personal standpoint. And at least for me, it's going to be the Derek Johnson move. When they end up cutting Derek Johnson, which looks like it's probably going to have to happen for this organization, that's really going to be one that hurts me because he's been my favorite Kansas City Chief of all time. I've loved Derek Johnson. Watching his career arc from getting drafted by Dick Vermeil to being benched by Todd Haley to becoming the best, you know, inside linebacker tackling machine that we've ever seen in Kansas City history to where we are right now at the kind of the tail end of his career. This guy fought, this guy work, this guy embodied just about everything you want a professional athlete to embody. To me, I look at Derek Johnson as the perfect Kansas City Chief. Great on the field, great off the field, an amazing guy in the community, and played his ass off every single Sunday and went through some big-time adversity that would have been easy to say, F this, I'm out, trade me, but fought through it and used that adversity to get back to the top. And I think when they ultimately cut Derek Johnson, that's going to be a depressing day for me, even though I know it's probably coming.
See, I'm in the other camp. I think the time is here. Maybe, you know, I wouldn't have a problem if he restructured and they brought him back.
Sure. I wouldn't either. Yeah.
If he ends up throwing another, if he thinks he's got a couple years left and goes to another team, that's where I'll be a little bit depressed. Because I want him to play his entire career with the Chiefs.
Sure.
If even if it's a forced move at this point, but he has decided that's it, I understand where you're at money-wise. You're going to cut me. I'm going to call it a career. Then I don't feel bad about it at all.
Mm-hmm. If he retires.
If he retires. Mm-hmm. If he ends up in some other uniform, then I'm going to be like, oh, crap.
Yeah, because couldn't, you know, he'd end up in San Diego or with the Raiders.
I couldn't have got it done. And just even if he had to, you know. So I think any move, though, money-wise would be fine probably at this point because you're gonna cut the $8 million. He's going to make like 2.25 the year after that.
Right.
If you can get him down in that number for 2 years, I'd be like, couldn't you just done that?
Mm-hmm.
So I just don't want him to be in another uniform.
Right.
But I don't have a problem with them moving on because I think it's a smart move.
Well, it is from a business decision. Yeah, but this is one of those where it's hard to separate the business and sports.
I can't pay prestige value, Bob.
No, I understand that.
Two sides of the parking lot. Okay?
Right. I get you.
I think that it's an easy move. I just don't want him playing somewhere else. If he decides to retire, then I'll be like, oh, good. He had a great career.
Right, if he decides to retire. Yeah. But I don't think he will. I don't think Derek Johnson is one of those guys that is like going to close the book on things. I think he still believes based on, you know, the season that he had and coming back from that injury. I think he probably believes, I got a little more that I can do out there. And he always looks great. I mean, Derek Johnson looks like he's in better shape every single year at the start of the season than he's looked at prior year. And to me, I think Derek Johnson is going to be like one of those guys like, if you don't want me here, I still want to play. I still want to play a little bit more, and I'm still ready to rock and roll. So I could see him going somewhere else. The other guy that they're going to cut that will not disappoint me at all, and I don't think really is going to disappoint many Chiefs fans because I think he's fallen out of favor with just about everybody here in Kansas City, is Tamba Ali. I mean, we look at that guy over the last 2 years as a guy who has absorbed a lot of money and really hasn't paid dividends for this ball club, right?
There's no, if he's healthy, he's never going to be healthy again.
Right, exactly.
He's been sitting out of practice for like 2 years now.
Mm-hmm.
Right? He is what he is, and that doesn't give you much value, let alone, another $6 million, almost $6 million next year. That one seems like the easiest cut of all.
Right.
Yeah, he had a great career in Kansas City, too. I really liked him in his prime. He's past his prime.
He doesn't
give you any value at that spot, so... that one's an easy one.
Yeah, I think he's an easy one as well. And a couple others that have been rumored out there, too, a couple of other moves. Obviously, Ron Parker has been rumored out there as a guy that the Kansas City Chiefs may cut because of salary cap reasons. That's a guy that I would look to restructure because I still think Ron Parker stirs it up, man. I think he brings a lot of value to this organization as a veteran safety, because I think if you cut Ron Parker, you're still going to be in the market for a safety because you have Dan Sorensen, you have, yes, Eric Berry is coming back, but that's it. And one of the goals that was set by this organization and by the owner, as we heard Clark Hunt on with Lake and Bink a week and a half ago here on 610 Sports Radio exclusively, talk about how they wanted to build depth on defense. And I think Ron Parker is one of those guys that you can look at that says he can bring some depth to this defense at a position where I believe, Josh, depth is needed right now, and that's at safety.
I mean, I'd like to keep the train going in the secondary in terms of those safety spots, but you have three of your highest paid players are safeties.
Yeah, it's true.
Three of your top 12 salaries are safeties.
That's a lot.
Could you pare down one of those and draft a guy or make do with an Eric Murray?
Maybe.
I think you maybe can.
Right.
Because Eric Berry, Ron Parker, Daniel Sorensen, three guys in your top 12 salaries next mm-hmm. year are at one position.
Right.
I could probably do without.
That is a lot of money being spent at those spots. But I also think, too, that you know, as good as John Dorsey was in the draft, the Eric Berry contract and the Justin Houston contract guys, as good as those guys are, they are still going to be albatrosses that are going to hang over this Kansas City Chiefs organization. And they're still contracts that I believe are going to prevent the Kansas City Chiefs from doing everything that they want to do. Say what you want about Eric Berry, but so far through 1 year of that contract, it hasn't been worth it. He got injured in the first half. And I mean, I know injuries happen, but if you're judging based on has that contract been worth it so far, the answer is no. And we all know the Justin Houston contract has not been worth it so far. So there are areas that this organization is going to have to cut. There are players that aren't going to be back on this roster. Some of it's going to have to do with age. Some of it's going to have to do with production. But a lot of it's going to do with trying to clear some room under that cap so you can use it to get younger and to go out there and to also build depth on the defensive side of the football. And for me, if your goal is to get younger and your goal is to build depth on the defensive side of the football, then I'm looking at an offseason right now where I'm not really, you know, dipping a toe into the free agent market. I'm not really waiting around there in the free agent market. If you're going to cut Ron Parker, maybe you look to add a safety. Maybe you look to add an offensive guard or an offensive lineman. But I'm not spending a high dollar amount in free agency this year because the goal of the organization, as stated by the owner here on 610 Sports Radio, is to get younger and to build better depth. And the way you build better depth is ultimately through the draft and focusing all your efforts on the draft and maybe a couple of street free agents and undrafted free agents after the draft is over to bring those guys in, because a lot of undrafted free agents make a name for themselves in the National Football League.
I might consider free agency for the defensive line. That may be about it.
Because they're going to need a guy there.
Bring in a veteran defensive lineman at one of the spots. But everything else I'm doing in the draft, and I would be terrible in the cost cutting mode. I'd dump a whole bunch of salary. I don't like D Ford.
Right.
I'd get rid of Tom Bahley. I'd get rid of Derek Johnson. I'd probably move on. Like, I'd just be, and then I'd be left with, well, who's going to play?
Right.
I would leave them without enough players to field a roster. So I'd probably be bad in that regard. But I think they can make some vast changes on defense if they choose to.
It reminds me a little bit of a baseball team. You got all your position players in their prime right now, and those are your offensive guys, and you got your starting pitching at the end of its prime right now. You need to find a way to get your starting pitching back into its prime so you can have balance on both sides of the ball. And I think ultimately they lost a lot of games last year because of the way that they played on defense, because they didn't get it done on defense. And you can sit here and blame Alex Smith and call him the devil all you want, but ultimately, the defense is the one who gave up the 18-point lead and looked old and tired at the end of the game against the Tennessee Titans. Coming up here on 610 Sports Radio, speaking of Alex Smith, he talked for the first time since the trade, and what he had to say will probably make you think twice about his career in Kansas City. We'll tell you about it next. All right, we're back at it here on 610 Sports Radio. Coming up in about 15 minutes or so, there's one person at the University of Kansas who is the most important figure for the basketball program, and it has nothing to do with a coach or a player. We'll tell you who it is coming up in about 15 minutes here on 610 Sports Radio.
Hope you texted ahead and let him know what you're talking about.
I didn't. Right. Okay. I didn't. Right. Should I?
I think
surprise is good.
Okay.
All right. You know, they monitor. Here's the thing. Alex Smith has gone on like this media tour the last 2 weeks or so, right? He did up in where the hell was the Super Bowl? Minnesota, and did that media tour right before the trade. And now he is doing the media tour out at Pebble Beach. Apparently there was a big golf event, didn't involve Tiger Woods, didn't hit my radar screen. So Tiger doesn't play.
You didn't know Larry Fitzgerald just won a golf tournament?
I did not. No, the wide receiver?
Yes.
Seriously?
Yeah.
He did win?
Yeah.
Are you kidding me? Really?
No,
I didn't know that. How about that?
You know,
the Pro-Am one.
Yeah.
That Alex Smith was
involved. Sure, his partner was pretty good.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
Yes. Larry Fitzgerald is a golf champion.
Well, Yes. Congratulations, yeah. Larry Fitzgerald. So Alex Smith, I guess, on Friday was on KNBR radio out in San Francisco. They were doing their show from Pebble Beach. So they get every celebrity just stopping by and doing their show and all kinds of stuff like that. It seemed like a lot of fun. And Alex Smith was one of those guys that kind of stopped by and was playing in the Pro-Am. And this was the first time that we've actually heard Alex talk now since the trade has gone through to the Washington Redskins. And I listened to this 12-minute interview on KNBR this morning, and I'm thinking to myself, man, if Alex was like this here in Kansas City, we probably would have a different image of Alex Smith. I think the Chiefs ultimately hurt Alex Smith's image here in Kansas City. I think they dummied him up so much and allowed him to be, or didn't allow him to be himself, and that he wasn't able to be the Alex Smith that he really is, that we never got to know Alex Smith, the true quarterback here in Kansas City. And I think that's one thing that we like. We like to identify with our athletes. We like to know who they are. And I think the Kansas City Chiefs ultimately hurt Alex Smith's reputation here in town by forcing him to be a guy that was boring, bland, and milquetoast every time he spoke in front of the media and really was never able to show his personality. And in this 12-minute interview that I listened on KNBR, he had fun. He showed his personality. He talked about things that made him successful, things that didn't make him successful. And I just thought it was a really good interview onto who Alex Smith the person was. And I thought, Josh, we heard a lot of that in Minnesota as well. And I thought, man, I wish we could have seen this side of Alex Smith here in KC, but the Chiefs just wouldn't allow it. And so they asked him about the trade via the Murph and Mac podcast, and this is what he said about Washington, D.C.
I'm jacked. I'm really excited, right? I mean, once I found out that, you know, obviously in Kansas City, things were, you know, going a different direction, I was pumped for the opportunity. You know, when Washington came calling, I was hopeful that was a possible destination, and I'm just jacked that it worked out.
Yeah,
they wanted me because the feeling's mutual. And
so that's Alex Smith saying they wanted me, the feeling's mutual. I'm going to Washington, D.C., and I'm jacked. And he said it twice in that. I don't think he even said he was jacked playing in the playoffs.
That's
here.
That's more upbeat because I when I first read the quotes, mm-hmm. I was like, oh, yeah, I'm jacked. You know, he right. figured like it is kind of downtone.
Exactly.
Or whatever. He was genuinely excited.
Yeah. Like you don't hear, you never heard that excitement from him, right?
No. You didn't buy it. You heard him say the words, but it was always so subdued.
Right. You never heard him in that excited mode like he is right now. Now off season versus in season, I know for whatever reason
you
we're supposed to
relaxed.
Believe
yeah,
and,
I know.
You know,
yeah, yeah.
all that sure. nonsense that they try to, you know, portray on you. But they finished the interview off with something that I found interesting, and Steven's like, why are we playing this? Well, I'm gonna play it for you, then explain why.
Hey, listen, it's always great. You're always generous with your time. People enjoy hearing you. They're texting in saying, tell Alex we love him. Everybody, you know, you still get the vibes.
Thank you. Yeah, I still get a ton of love and support from the area, which is very, very cool, humbling.
So that's Alex Smith talking about San Francisco. And the hosts are saying, man, we're still getting a lot of texts. Tell Alex we love him and whatnot. And I'm thinking to myself, in 5 years, when Alex Smith is done playing in Washington, D.C., if he's playing here in a pro-am, what is the reaction that we're getting on the text line for Alex Smith?
I don't think a lot of thank yous.
I don't either.
It's good to hear you, and we love to hear from you.
Right.
Yeah, I don't think so.
I don't think he's getting any of that here in Kansas City. But in San Francisco, people are saying, man, it's good to hear from you. We love you. Tell Alex we love him. I think he's great. For whatever reason, the Alex Smith that they had out in San Francisco and the guy that was on the radio there on KNBR and maybe the guy that's going to be in Washington, I don't know yet. But for whatever reason, we were cheated out of that Alex Smith here in Kansas City. I firmly believe that. Not maybe out of Alex Smith, the quarterback, because he will go down currently as the second best quarterback in Chiefs history. Okay. There's no
All
arguing
over the
down
Chiefs
that.
Record book. Yes.
He will go down as the second best quarterback in the history of this franchise. But I think we were cheated out of Alex Smith, the person. I don't think we got to experience Alex Smith, the person. And it got me to thinking about the other 52 guys that are still there in that locker room. And as much as Andy says, oh, show your personality, and as much as the organization says, we let these guys be who they are they really allowing those guys to be who they are and allowing those guys to really be part of Kansas City and really allowing us to have the full experience of those players? Because it sounds like from the host out in San Francisco, Alex Smith was this great dude that everybody loved out there. Alex Smith was doing charity work and nobody knew about any of it here in Kansas City. How many of these other players that are involved with the Kansas City Chiefs are doing great things and could have great impacts on this community, but we don't hear about it because the organization isn't allowing it? And that's something that really bothers me, because the impression, the memory, the image of Alex Smith is always going to be one that's really not looked at that favorably for a lot of Kansas City Chiefs fans. And that's sad, because clearly this guy is a good dude who's got a hell of a personality, a lot to say, and really wants to do a lot of good things that people in San Francisco, 5 years later, six quarterbacks removed, four coaches removed, are still saying, we love you, Alex.
Now, there is a caveat to this. San Francisco, I think, can probably appreciate that he went on to Kansas City and did some good things.
Okay. Maybe. Okay?
Well, look at their last 5 years versus.
Yeah.
Right. They thought Kaepernick was going to be the answer.
Right.
They've had a lot of stuff going on.
Sure.
Okay.
Absolutely.
That hasn't resulted in success other than in Alex's last year.
Mm-hmm.
When Kaepernick obviously led them at the tail end. The only caveat to that here is if Mahomes doesn't turn out to be good.
Sure.
I'm not counting on that.
Right.
I'm not expecting that to happen, but he would be received differently in 5 years if the Mahomes thing doesn't work.
Maybe so.
Because you'd be like, it'd be like Marty.
Right.
You were ready for Marty to be over.
Mm-hmm.
But you had some years without Marty where you're like, oh, man, Marty years are pretty good.
Right.
That could be the case. I don't expect it to be, but that's your kind of your one but
right.
in this one.
Is
but
that,
I don't think that's going to be the case, because I think Mahomes is going to be really good and we're all going to be happy about it. And Alex Smith will be, he was quarterback here. Okay.
Right.
Didn't amount to much team-wise. And, yeah, they had some nice little – got in the playoffs and won a couple AFC Wests, but now we're on to bigger and better.
Mm-hmm.
If we're not – then he might be received differently.
But to me, it's still bigger than Alex Smith. I wonder how many guys have this personality and have this drive that people love that we're just not able to experience here in Kansas City because the organization holds them back. Like, I don't know. I'm just going to pick a random guy out of my mind. Like, maybe Eric Fisher is one of these guys who's got this great personality and this great love for life, and we would all love him as a person if he was able to be himself, if he was able to kind of be cool and hang out and do interviews and have fun and show his personality. Because I think as much as the Chiefs say, show your personality and play with personality, they really don't mean that. And they really don't allow that.
It's blatantly clear, and we're not doing it because we don't. There's five guys in the locker room each and every day of practice. Maybe. After they're nowhere to be found.
Right.
Nobody's on the radio. You don't know anything about these guys. You don't know any of their personalities.
Mm-hmm.
They're kept in a bubble.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think everybody would like to get. I'd like to hear from some of these guys and know their personalities. I don't know.
Right. Like
I don't know.
Like if
somebody was it somebody tweeted or texted or told you they're like, I know more about Danny Duffy's dog.
Yeah.
Than I do about any Chiefs.
Uh-huh.
That's true.
It's true. Right.
And there's not that connection that there could be. I think they're missing an opportunity.
I think they're missing a big time opportunity. And I think that Alex Smith comment there, what they said about him, those are the type of messages we would receive if Eric Hosmer goes somewhere else, if Danny Duffy goes somewhere else, if Mike Moustakas goes somewhere else, and we were to have them on the radio and sitting there at a golf tournament talking with them, we would get texts 5 years later, 10 years later. Tell Eric we still love him. Tell Danny we still love him. Tell Moose we still love him. We love these guys. We love these guys. We love these guys. And that's the feeling that Alex Smith is getting from people in San Francisco. I wish we had the opportunity to experience the Alex Smith that San Francisco had, because I think we'd view him a lot different. Coming up, the most important person for Kansas basketball isn't a player or a coach. We'll tell you who it is next.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.